Now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, thanks for being back. I appreciate that. Glad you're staying with us because you won't want to miss our guest today, Jennifer Trout. I've known Jennifer for a couple of years, and she's been gracious enough to be with us this morning. Jennifer Trout is the program coordinator for the School of Business for Rasmussen College. She's going to tell you all about Rasmussen College, some fantastic stuff that they have going on over there. Her primary role is to promote the School of Business through a symbiotic relationship with faculty, students, and the community. In this business leadership role, she mentors and guides individuals academically as a teacher, administratively as a role model, and as an advocate of community support, excuse me. Her emotional intelligence started as part of her graduate study and has blossomed into a greater fascination. She's about to complete her doctorate in management. Her focus in emotional intelligence and education has grown. The more she spends time in it, the more fascinated she seems to become with it. Her work in the field of higher education and research in EI spawned her study of emotional intelligence in an undergraduate student population and a predictor of career success. So what we're going to be talking about today is how emotional intelligence either shows up or how emotional intelligence gets used in an academic environment. But first thing I want to do is say good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. I was just sharing with everyone about the Super Bowl last night and all the ebbs and flows of emotions that went on in the Super Bowl. Did you see any of that?
Oh, absolutely. I watched the whole thing from start to finish.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe later on you can give us some of your thoughts on how you saw maybe emotions going, you know, running rapid in some cases in the Super Bowl. Not only that, but when halftime, well, when the lights went out, maybe what kind of emotional experiences or could have been happening or going on at that time. But what I want to do right now is because perhaps a lot of our listeners don't know that much about, I haven't heard maybe of Rasmussen College. So can you give us maybe just a little information about Rasmussen College?
Sure. Well, I've actually been the program coordinator for Rasmussen College for, I think 8 months now. and I kind of came on board as you had mentioned, finishing my doctorate for management with the emphasis on emotional intelligence. And kind of my goal was to kind of bring that into the academic setting. One of the things that I liked about Rasmussen College is it's a practical, hands-on, career-focused undergraduate program. And we have a variety of different programs. Obviously, I work in the business side, so I'm an advocate for business. but we have plenty of other programs as well. I mean, they have nursing, criminal justice, health studies, or health sciences, excuse me, as well as, technology and design. So there's many different facets that we do have here. And that's kind of a little bit kind of about the college. Now, the college I actually, work at is actually probably about an hour north of Tampa. It's called Ocala, Florida, and we actually were kind of in a little bit more of a rural area of, as opposed to Tampa, which is a much bigger city, or even Orlando. So that's kind of primarily a little bit about the school itself.
Okay. But there aren't just, Ocala isn't the only location for Rasmussen College.
No, absolutely not.
They have locations pretty much throughout Florida and some other states.
Oh, right? Absolutely. We have 22 campuses. we have 5 here in Florida, and then we have several up north, Chicago, Minnesota areas. I primarily, obviously, kind of promote my campus, but we do have a couple in Tampa, in the Tampa market. We have one in Land O'Lakes, one in Newport Richey, one in Tampa, and then we have one down in Fort Myers. So, you know, of course, again, I go back to Ocala.
Yes, yes.
We actually are the largest program, too. I have, you know, approximately 290 students in the School of Business here on campus. And we are one of the larger campuses, approximately about 1,200 students in general, which is a really large student population, even for the area.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I understand, you know, it is, you know, that the college is growing. As a matter of fact, you know, that's probably one of the things that can be said about a lot of colleges and universities, you know, these days, that, you know, as the economy gets better, you know, a lot of times you'll see more students, you know, going into college to improve their skills and abilities for promotions or to change jobs. So, and I've noticed that, you know, with Rasmussen, and I'm just going to let everyone know that one of the things about Rasmussen is that, was I think it's in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be going to one of their career fairs out there where Jennifer is. And the reason that I'm going to be doing that, or at least one of the reasons, is that I'm looking forward to sharing SOEI or sharing emotional intelligence with that community. And when I say that community, meaning the community of Rasmussen College, because as I understand it, you're going to have faculty there, you're going to have students there, and there'll also be people from the community that will be there. So I think it's a great opportunity to get SOEI out in that area. So thanks for the invitation. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. They're looking forward to it, I can tell you that.
Good, good, good. Well, you're on today, not only did you just kind of chat with me, you know, in about doing things over at Rasmussen College and stuff like that. In the work that you're doing, both from an academic standpoint in terms of getting your doctorate degree, but also you're spending time as a faculty member there in Rasmussen. So you're seeing emotional intelligence from a lot of different ways. So I have a few questions that I want to just kind of pose, and, you know, you can just kind of let me know what you think about them. For instance, one of the things that I was thinking about is what work have you done in the field of emotional intelligence, you know, that's sort of tied to education? In other words, not just emotional intelligence about you on a personal note, but also as it relates to education.
Right. Well, I mean, besides the dissertation, obviously, is the big part of it, which kind of sparked the whole premise of me working in the field with emotional intelligence. I kind of wanted to, through my research, really kind of pinpoint what I've seen in students going to school or going back to school, and just in the overall decision of going to school. And you know, I did work in admissions prior to, you know, working in the faculty and academic side of things in the field of education. And one of the things that I had to do was interview students. And you can almost tell the ones that were ready to go and then the ones that, you know, they're here for because they want something that might be better, but they're not really sure what they want. They can't make the decisions. There's always something, an excuse of some nature. So kind of relating that back into emotional intelligence and academics with my dissertation and kind of going into emotional intelligence and how it relates to career success, one of the things that I wanted to do is kind of develop an assessment for these students that are coming in. I mean, we give assessments as far as testing their math skills and their English and writing skills. But, okay, you know, are these students prepared to start school? And I'm not saying that we would use it as a predictor or a way to weed out the student from starting their school and their goals and their dreams. but maybe the ones that test a little bit lower based on this assessment, we provide additional training and support and things that may help them either increase their emotional intelligence, which is ultimately the goal, and then
okay.
have them be prepared for what's going to happen in college. You know, I think a lot of times they just don't understand exactly what is expected of them in a college setting.
And so you've – no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, so I said that's just the beginning. That's the start of it. And then if you add it into additional classes, training, preparedness, and then not to mention their overall academic environment as far as their formalized education, you know, with the faculty and being able to recognize and understand and implement emotional intelligence in the classroom.
Okay.
So that way they're prepared for when they leave school, which
okay.
is the last part of it. So it's almost like you have to get it at the beginning. You have to put it in the beginning. You have to put it in the middle, and then you have to kind of reinforce it, you know, at the end. And then it's a continuing, you know, process.
Okay.
So these are the things that I'm looking at, both as academic faculty member, current student as well, obviously, because I'm still finishing mine as well.
Right.
I'm just being a mentor to the community. So being able to provide all of those things and have what you had mentioned, I had said, the symbiotic relationship of all of that together is what I see is kind of the direction that these students are needing. It's not all about the formalized education. It's what else can they do? You know, what else do they need?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think about, you know, and I often do presentations to students is I use the term, you know, competitive advantage. That is what separates, you know, one student from another student. Let's say that you have a room full of students and they all have 3.5, 3.7 GPAs. And hopefully, and because they do have 3.5s and 3.7s, you know, an employer may say, geez, you know, all of these are really, really, really good, but I only have room for one. Now, what is it about that one that stands out that will say, okay, this is a person that will more likely fit into our organization and do well for us than the others? And I say to the students that that thing could be their emotional intelligence. So using emotional intelligence as a competitive advantage would be one thing that I think they could really do. Before I go on, I see that the studio is saying that it's time for us to take a break. We have to get the commercials in. So can you stay with us for just one more segment? I want to run a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Not a problem.
Okay. This is Dr. Hank on Let's Talk EI. We'll be right back right after this.